Washington, D.C., October 3rd, 1863. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To their bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed. And harmony has prevailed everywhere except the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well as of iron and of coal and of precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Our population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camps and the siege and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase in freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverance and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, command to His tender care all those who have become widows and orphans and mourners or sufferers in this lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged. And I fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. This is done at the city of Washington, this third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1863. And of the independence of the United States, by President Abraham Lincoln. That's the proclamation that he gave while in the midst of the Civil War that was drawing to a close. You know, this was not the first Thanksgiving that was observed in 1863, but this proclamation was the first time that it made it a national holiday. It is recorded that in 1621, almost 200 years earlier, that the Plymouth, Massachusetts colonists and the Wampanoag Indians shared an autumn festival of Thanksgiving for their first harvest of the New World. For more than two centuries, a day of Thanksgiving has been celebrated in some of the colonies and states, But in the midst of this civil war, Abraham Lincoln in 1863 signed the proclamation to make it a national holiday. And we have Thanksgiving coming up this next Thursday. One of the comments when I was preparing this message that one author noted, and I'll quote him here, it says, "In many American households, the Thanksgiving celebration has lost much of its original religious significance. Instead, now, it centers on cooking and sharing a bountiful meal with family and friends." So what about this concept of Thanksgiving? You know, sometimes we hear the question asked, what are you thankful for? And people rattle off a list or they think of some things. But maybe the better way to approach this would be, who are you thankful to? Who are you thankful to? So I wanted to explore this concept of Thanksgiving. My wife and some of her friends have entered into a 40-day challenge to write a scripture in a journal each day and then count or record five blessings or things that they are thankful for each day. And it's definitely a focus we sometimes neglect. I know you remember this, but and I found this interesting, this book my wife gave me to read. It's called Practicing Thankfulness. I guess it's part of probably what they're doing for this 40 days. It says, who remembers the movie It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart? And I wanted to pick up a passage that I thought they had put down so well, better than I could put it. And I'm going to read it to you from this little book, Practicing Thankfulness. It's on page 55. It says, this movie, It's a Wonderful Life, I'm sure we've all seen it. It says, George Bailey, the main character in the classic film It's a Wonderful Life, despises his small town and his career. You know, he was so disappointed, didn't think he ever accomplished anything. And he considers his life insignificant. And he's about to commit suicide. Remember, he was going to jump off the bridge, and this angel Clarence shows up and grants him this wish of, I wish I'd never been born, so he could see what took place without him. But once awakened to his blessings and what he has done and missed out on, or would have missed out on, he greets with jubilation his life. He ran back, you know, the car that was wrecked against the tree, and, you know, just thank you for this car, and thank you, you know, for this tree. And he greets his old building and loan office building with gladness, enthusiastically wishes he suddenly loves his drafty old house and tickled that he might go to jail. And this thankfulness that he has is because God has blessed him in his life, you know, in this movie. And I found this very interesting. It says, the doorway to joy is opened by putting to death a spirit of entitlement. You know, this spirit of entitlement, I deserve it. I deserve it. I worked with a guy not too long ago, and he would talk about how he deserved to have health insurance for free because he'd worked all his life. You know, he said, I deserve it. Well, all we deserve is to die. If you will, turn with me to Acts. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. This is God that made the world and all things therein. Seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. He gives to us life and breath, and all things. There's not anything that we have that doesn't come from God. There's not anything that we have that is not a direct result of him giving us life and breath and all things. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4, and we'll pick up in verse 14. knowing that he which is raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. This thanksgiving of many. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, we owe God our physical life. We owe God our eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. Yet we are redeemed. We are bought and paid for with a great price, the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ. Our promise and hope should bring us much joy in today and in our future. So one benefit of recognizing this and having a thankful attitude is joy. So that's my first point. Being thankful brings us joy. Being thankful brings us joy. And here's the interesting side of this, the flip side of this, you can give joy to others. I made a mistake last night at dinner. We had a good dinner, the kids were over, and the dinner was great. And unbeknownst to me, some food had been fixed that was prior to the meal because one of my kids needed to eat earlier, a little earlier, they're getting sick. It was macaroni and cheese. Well, I dipped some up and sitting at the table, and I took the first bite, and it was cold. I was like, I made a comment, hey, the macaroni and cheese is cold. I didn't say everything else was great. I said the macaroni and cheese is cold. Instead of thanking things for the things that were good, and I could have given joy at that moment to someone else. Could have given joy. So the flip side of that, not only does it give us joy to be thankful, but when we thank others, we can give joy. We can give joy. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1. And I brought my old Bible up here today. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. You know, thankfulness and focusing on God and his blessings can also lead us to a repentant attitude. You know, we can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be thankful for that. That thankfulness can lead us to a repentant attitude. You know, we owe God in more ways than one, but we do owe him our gratitude and thankfulness. We need to have this thankful attitude all the time. Being thankful also keeps us from grumbling or complaining or griping about something. Just like that dinner last night, I could have said I'm thankful for this, and it would have probably stopped me from being complaining. You can't complain when you are thankful. You can't complain when you are thankful. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Here we are, being thankful. In verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. Let your requests be made unto God with thanksgiving. You see, thanking God for all the good things in our lives keeps us from complaining. So the second point, being thankful stops us from having a complaining attitude. Being thankful stops us from having a complaining attitude. Remember the children of Israel coming out of Egypt? Why have you brought us out here to die, where there are no graves? Did you bring us out into this desert to us to die of hunger? Did you bring us out into this desert to die of thirst? A thankful attitude stops us from having a complaining attitude. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we'll pick it up in verse 11. Interesting story here. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, Jesus, that he passed through the midst of the Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village there, he met 10 men that were lepers. And they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 of them were cleansed. And one of them, in verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He's talking at the top of his lungs with a loud voice. And he fell down on his face, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I mean, 1 out of 10 turned around and gave thanks to God. It says in verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. So Jesus asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It appears that having a thankful attitude is not only important, but God notices when we take our blessings for granted and don't thank Him. You know, our thankful attitude not only gives joy to others and gives joy to ourselves, but I have a suspicion that God receives joy when we thank Him. When we thank Him for the gifts and the blessings and the things that He has done in our life every day. So I think this example here shows that, you know, he noticed that only one turned and thanked him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Interesting here in chapter 1 in Romans. Talks a lot about thankful and some of the things that happen when we're unthankful. So we'll pick it up in Romans 1 and verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. How important this is to be thankful. Without being thankful, our heart could become darkened. In verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, when we are unthankful, we are not recognizing God's authority, His authority in our lives. And we change the truth, or have that ability of being unthankful, changes the truth into a lie. Remember the lie in the Garden of Eden? You don't have to obey. You can do what you want. You can do your own will. You won't surely die. You see, your eyes will be opened. The lie. The lie is the wages of sin are not death. What if Adam and Eve had been thankful for all the trees and the fruits that they could eat from and not envied the one they weren't supposed to eat from? We wouldn't be going through this mess of a world that we have now. You don't have to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 4, that verse 6 and 7, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, we've already referenced that. It says, let your requests be known to God. And the next verse, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Being thankful for what we have, not striving for more, not being unhappy because I don't have something, but being content. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the third point is being thankful brings peace and contentment into our lives. Being thankful brings peace and contentment into our lives. We're still here in Romans. Let's look at verse 28. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication and wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit." And all these things that could be avoided if we had an attitude of thankfulness. Verse 31, it says, "Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So what is it? You know, they realize they're doing wrong, but they don't care, because they have accepted the lie. The lie. You won't surely die. The wages of sin is not death. That's the lie. Let's turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And in verse 10. "And the disciples came unto him and said, Why speak to you them in parables? Why are you always talking in these stories and parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he had. Therefore, here's the reason I speak in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." It says, "For this people's heart," in verse 15, "is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." It says, "They should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their hearts." It says in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it talks about whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of this world. But you see, because we recognize the truth, we also recognize the lie. That's what comes from a thankful attitude. So my fourth point is, a thankful attitude recognizes the true God and allows us to see the truth and the lie. A thankful attitude recognizes the true God, which He's our provider. We should be focusing on Him and thanking Him. And this allows us to see the truth and the lie. Well, what about a thankful attitude when we're facing trials and troubles, when times are hard? You know, we've talked about this many times in James chapter 1, where it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you face these diverse temptations." That's hard to do. But let's look at an example of King David and an event that took place in his life. And again, I've talked about this a few times, about, you know, how we need to be developing a heart like King David, to be men and women after God's own heart. And that's how King David is described. But in 2 Samuel chapter 20, if you will, turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 20. This is after he and Bathsheba had done what they did and committed sin and killed her husband, her Uriah. But they had a child, and it was a son. In chapter 20 and verse 15, it says, make sure I'm in the right book. 2 Samuel 20, verse 15. Maybe it's 1 Samuel. Hold on. Well, I've lost my place there, but anyway, talked about he was fasting and praying for his son. And the servants were looking at him, and, you know, they didn't want to tell him that his son had passed away. But after he found out that his son had passed away, he got up and washed his face and combed his hair, and he worshiped and praised God. And Psalms chapter 9, according to the commentaries, was written after the death of his son. And it explains in chapter 9 how David had such a thankful attitude that God's will had been done, that he had been taught a lesson, and that he displayed this thankful attitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks." You know, God's will be done in our lives. Can we recognize it even in the hard times? What lessons are we to learn? Maybe it's a way that we're to overcome, or how we're to grow, how we're to grow in this bad situation. Are we being led to repentance through this trial? You think about Job and what God was trying to show him. And the questions that he asked Job, you know, are, did you set the foundations of the world? Did you create all this? Maybe it's patience or endurance or perseverance that we're to learn when going through hard times. Maybe it's to be thankful and not ignore our blessings. So point number 5, having a thankful attitude will enable us to recognize God's will in our lives. Having a thankful attitude will enable us to recognize God's will in our lives. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Go back to Romans chapter 5. In verse 1, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Here again, talking about peace. "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Rejoicing, again, a thankful attitude. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." We glory in tribulation, having that thankful attitude. God is working out His purpose and His will in our lives. Turn with me to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which you are also called in one body, and be you thankful. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be you thankful." Here again, be thankful. How important this is. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." There's that joyful attitude. "And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Doing what? "Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So whatever you're doing, whatever your words are, whatever your thoughts are, whatever your focus is, everything that you do, give thanks to God and the Father. Giving thanks. Point number 6. In all these things that we do, in word or deed, be thankful. Be thankful. In other words, be thankful in everything. Be thankful in everything. Turn back one chapter in Colossians. We're right here in Colossians to chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And in verse 6, says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Be rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Abounding with thanksgiving. "And beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Here again is that lie. You know, the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world. That lie, that recognition that if you have this thankful attitude, you can perceive the lie. So point number 7, being thankful helps us to put on the new man and bury the old man. Being thankful helps us to put on the new man and bury the old man. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. So here's a warning for us today. Here we are in these days. We're a long time from 1863, from the proclamation of Thanksgiving. But in chapter 3 in verse 1 it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Unthankful, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now we see this in our world. We see this unthankfulness. We see the decay and the violence and the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's no recognition or acknowledgement of God or his authority. Living the lie. No one's the boss of me. Do your own will, your own desire. You won't surely die. The wages of sin are not death. The lie. Well, Abraham Lincoln in 1863 proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving for our nation. And sadly, today it is just a big meal, football games and parades, getting ready for Black Friday shoppers, and maybe putting up the Christmas tree. The lie. But let us have this attitude of thankfulness. Let us be desiring to be sons and daughters of the living God, and with a heart after God's own heart. Why don't we proclaim every day a day of thanksgiving? Why don't we pay attention to our blessings? Be thankful in the hard times. Be thankful in the hard times. You know, we've already been here, but turn back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. Verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." The thanksgiving of many. In verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us as a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, God is offering us eternal life. How much more should we be thankful for that? Not only for our present physical life, but for the future and the hope that we have in eternal life and being in his family. We need to think about that every day and be thankful. Don't turn there, but in Romans 8, verse 18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Remember to be thankful.